Thank you, Mr. Chair. This issue was largely discussed in the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables, and at the last session of the committee was clear that the scope of the scandal does not refer to cassava flour or garri or related products. We already have standards for garri and cassava flours, and we have maximum level for cyanogenic glycosides in those standards. So what we're referring here is the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetable, and what we're doing here is a standard to be sold raw. Raw roots of cassava that then can be sold, and at home you can cook, and this cooking could be by boiling or eating by in a fried form. So we're not really talking about cassava flour. This further processing is out of the scope of the standard and is out of the scope of the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetable. You have another committee on cereals, pulses, and legumes in which these two standards were discussed and elaborated. So this is the basically reason because the committee agreed to send this standard for adoption of step 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for this information. And that's the picture I was getting, that we are mixing up the two standards for product, processed products, and for raw fresh products. And with this clarification, I'm sure Nigeria can agree. Nigeria and then India, and we summarize.
Argentina.
Oh, Argentina will be on the list too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to explain further. We are objecting the section 6.1.2. The preparation instruction given there is very misleading. It says you boil, after boiling, you must soak it. There's a process. You must soak it in water. That step is missing. The essence of soaking, even traditionally, before you eat it, you must soak it in water for some time. And in chemistry, the glucosides will be dissolved in the water and you decant it before eating. So the instruction given there is boil and eat. You can't boil bitter cassava directly and eat. If you eat it and go to bed, you may not wake up. So it's very misleading. I'm just telling you because we have to look at the traditional practices. You must further soak it in, steep it in water. It's not something you boil like potato, then you eat direct. No. If you're going to eat it, you boil it, then you soak it for some water, then you bring it out and eat. That's a step is missing there. So that's what I'm saying. It's conveying the wrong method just by the statement. It's not correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Nigeria. And then I go to India, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the chair of the committee said was correct. There was consensus on the method of preparation. There's no doubt about that. But what Nigeria says is also correct. It is true that you need to really soak it up, vacuum it. The water needs to be decanted also. If this portion of the standard back to the committee for consideration, I would request, India would request that the diameter issue also needs to go back. While we agree that there should be harmonization between the standards for sweet cassava and bitter cassava, but we also need to understand the two products are different. One is bitter, one is sweet, and the bitterness is on account of the cyanide content. So we need to really take care of this point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, India, and I can recall it was the same discussion we had in this room some time ago, whether we should have one standard or we should have one for sweet and one for bitter, and we agreed let's develop the two products separately and see if at any opportunity in future we could have one standard. Though that discussion has already been taking place in this room. Argentina, please.
Well,
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina apoya el avance de esta norma con las aclaraciones pertinentes que brinde el etiquetado para que el consumidor esté bien informado. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. And Cuba, you are the last speaker, please.
Solo para algo más que se ha dicho, nosotros apoyamos lo que ha dicho Nigeria nuevamente. En el proceso de preparación siempre tiene que haber un contacto. Tal vez pudiera invitar a alguien que hiciera el esfuerzo de hacerlo sin eso, tendríamos que apoyarlo para que la pudiera comer. Siempre eso va a haber que hacerlo, va a haber que ponerla en contacto, además lo dice el método de preparación. Y esas aguas tienen un gran efecto porque nosotros insistimos en que está comprobado que este producto que se desecha no es inocuo, es que ese producto produce polineuritis. Yo pienso que nosotros estamos en presencia de un asunto que debe, no nos tomaría mucho problema que nosotros pudiéramos trabajarlo con un poco más de profundidad, porque la yuca dulce no tiene ningún problema y es normal usar los almidones residuales de la yuca dulce para muchos asuntos. Por lo tanto, yo apoyo a los países que sugieren que en este tema se pueda profundizar más, porque además se trataría de un alimento popular y que no hubiera ningún tipo de confusión. Cuba agradecería que se hiciera. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Cuba. And I'm not a cassava specialist, but once it has been boiled and then you soak again in water, and boiling it means you boil in water, then I'm not very sure. And given the explanation from the chairperson of the committee and the support from India that indeed there was consensus on the preparation method, I can only ask Nigeria if we can reserve their position on the preparation method and we adopt up step 8. Cameroon, please.
Monsieur le Président, merci. Étant voisin du Nigeria, nous ne pouvons que supporter ce qu'ils disent, parce que nous aussi, dans notre consommation, nous avons le manioc comme aliment de base. Mais je pense que ici, nous n'avons pas besoin, en fait, de détails scientifiques supplémentaires. Il s'agit ici d'une description de processus. Et nous pouvons, Monsieur le Président, avec votre permission, essayer de voir si on ne peut pas prendre en considération l'ajout que venait d'apporter le Nigeria dans le texte, mais accepter d'adopter ça à l'étape 8, tel que c'est proposé, avec peut-être une note bas de page sur cet ajout. Je pense que cela pourrait peut-être nous amener à avancer. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, Cameroon, and I'm going to make another proposal. We hold the text at step 8 and invite the committee to look at the concerns raised with regards to the processing, labeling, and the issue of diameter. Three issues have been raised here. We hold the standard at this step 8, and the committee should, in its next session, consider the question of labeling, the question of the method of preparation, and the question of diameter. And we should be able to come back to it in the next commission meeting. Does this sound to be a fair decision on this? Mexico, unless you really want to, should I say, contest the chairman's I'm saying, looking at the text, in fact, the preparation instructions fall under labeling. We don't have a separate clause on preparation, but it's part of the labeling instructions. So, if anything, then if we hold at step 8, then the committee can look at the clause on labeling, which also includes the preparation instructions, and of course the issue of diameter raised by India. Mexico, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Tal y como lo dijimos en la intervención anterior, consideramos que el poner unas instrucciones más profundas sobre el proceso que debe de sufrir la yuca iría más allá del mandato del comité y, por tanto, no debería de ser una norma elaborada por el Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. Consideramos que si existen tantas previsiones sobre las instrucciones y modo de preparación, esta norma sería mejor manejada por el Comité de Cereales, Legumbres y Leguminosas para hacer una norma de harina de yuca amarga en lugar de una norma y un estándar de yuca amarga fresca. Como fresca. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mexico, the host country of the committee, and I would really request the countries that have observed the what we could say shortcomings on the instruction methods, preparation methods, and they should go to the committee, listen to what the chair would say, and then they should come up with a recommendation in the next commission session, clearly telling us to go ahead with the adoption of step 8. But the situation as it is now, would retain it as step 8 and let the committee address the issue of labeling, which includes the instructions for preparation, of course striking a balance between what would be processing and preparation, and also take into account the India's concern about diameter. Chile, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Apoyamos lo señalado por México y agregamos que lo que tenga que ver con etiquetado lo tiene que ver el Comité de Etiquetado. En otro orden de cosas, señor presidente, nos gustaría saber si usted lo que propuso es una suspensión de la medida hasta la próxima reunión de la comisión. Y en ese caso, nos gustaría que quede el plazo delimitado hasta la próxima reunión de la comisión y no tengamos normas que queden suspendidas por determinado tiempo, por tiempo indeterminado. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much. We seem to be in support at the high table, in agreement. Secretary, please, could you summarize it in a way that would appear in our report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of the comments were directed to Section 6, marking and labeling. Therefore, the Commission could decide to hold this draft standard at step 8 and return the Section 6 on marking and labeling to step 6 for consideration by the next meeting of the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, which is currently scheduled in October 2009, for consideration at step 7, and the improved section, possibly, on marking and labeling, will be referred to CCFL, Food Labeling Committee, for endorsement in early 2010. And when this Section 6 comes back to the Commission in July 2010, we may be in a position to adopt the whole text together with the parts held at Step 8 as a full standard. That would be one probable timeline for the completion of this work. And of course, the India question was raised that would on one other section. But if India is the only country, it is our position for the Commission to record the reservation of India on that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and we have spent enough time on this, and this will be our cause of line. Thank you very much. I'm closing the subject. Costa Rica, I'm sure you're in support of what we have said.
Gracias, señor presidente. Quisiera que se tomara nota de la delegación de Costa Rica sobre la reserva del diámetro, porque también había sido expuesto junto con la India en la reunión del Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. We shall add your reservation. So, this is we adopt at step 8, we retain at step 8, and this section on labeling will take the course, as the Secretary has just explained, and we'll record the reservation by India and Costa Rica on the issue of diameter. Thank you very much. The next document is proposed draft code of hygienic practice for powdered formulae for infants and young children. It's being proposed to be adopted at step 5-8. Any objections? Indonesia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this opportunity, the government of Indonesia would like to express our appreciation to the CCFH to finalize the proposed draft code of hygiene practice for powder formulae for infants and young children. We realize that Enterobacter sakasaki has recently emerged as a pathogen of infant particular in certain conditions. Outbreaks of Enterobacter sakasaki infection have led to the link with the powder formulae. We agree that it is very important to detect Enterobacter sakasaki by enterobacteriaceae testing in every critical control point in the process production of powder formulae and Enterobacter sakasaki testing in the ended product, so that the contamination of this pathogen can be minimalized. However, as a national agency in controlling of food products in the market, the implementation of laboratory testing on Enterobacter sakasaki is given high cost and also make a burden in the budget, especially as the developing country. So that the government of Indonesia would like to take into to ask to the codec for take into account, is there any method of analysis other than using DNA base that has high reliability so that the routine control can be done with the lower cost? The other issue, we would like to have clarification concerning amendment of Enterobacter sakasaki to read Enterobacter sakasaki within bracket Chronobacter species. As we know, Chronobacter is a new genus of family Enterobacteriaceae, which is intended to accommodate 16 biogroup of Enterobacter sakasaki. Meanwhile, there is no specific data that indicate which biogroup as a pathogenic. We would be grateful if the Commission in the future could take into account on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Indonesia, for your observations, and I'm sure we have some answers for the change of the name. United States of America, please, can you come in here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking as the chair of the Committee on Food Hygiene, I thank the government of Indonesia for its comments. I think that the observation with respect to the new taxonomic designation of Enterobacter sakasakii, Chronobacter species, is appropriate and should be made. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, United States of America, and I think Indonesia is happy.
Egypt is a member.
I have on my list Egypt, Singapore, as members requesting for the floor, and then I have ENCA, IBFAN, and ILCA. And WHO, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. نظرا لأن هذه الأغذية حساسة جدا وتستخدم لفئات حساسة، فيجب ألا نهمل التعرف على بكتيريا ساكازاكي، خاصة بأن تعددت عمليات عزل هذه البكتيريا من هذه النوعيات من الأغذية. هذا فنحن نوصي أيضا بالاهتمام بتطبيق نظم سلامة الغذاء، خاصة الآيزو 22000، بالإضافة بالطبع إلى البري ريكويزيت بروجرامز أو المتطلبات الأولية من جي ام بي وجي اتش بي وجي اي بي. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you. Egypt, I couldn't agree more. Singapore, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We deliberated this last year, and Singapore mentioned about we need to make reference to the WHO's method of preparation to ensure that the finished products for consumption by infants are safe. And at the beginning of the opening of this session, you mentioned that the Codex standard has a serious implication of conflicts with the WHO's recommendation, and you're going to have a discussion later in the day. Maybe perhaps this is a right for WHO and the Codex to come out and discuss and talk about what is the matter and how are you going to resolve these issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Singapore, but I don't recall having said there was conflict, but well, we would have WHO. Please, WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think that this is a very good example of again mentioning that there is no conflict whatsoever between what Codex is doing and WHO. And in that respect, I might direct the delegates to the outcome of the meeting of the World Health Assembly just 1 month ago in May here in Geneva, where member states adopted a new resolution specifically about this issue, infant and young child feeding. And in the resolution, the member states of WHO said that they were encouraged by the work of FAO and WHO through the Codex Alimentarius Commission on the revised proposed draft code. So this is work that is going ahead in unison between the organizations. I might also want to briefly mention that in this resolution text of the World Health Assembly, they do refer to the need for member states to further investigate as potential risk reduction strategy the possible use and, in accordance with national regulations, the safe use of donor milk through human milk banks. And this is an important issue that maybe could be mentioned in the notes of this meeting so that countries would know that there are alternatives also to the products that are being discussed in the Codex Code. But that doesn't take anything away from the Codex Code. On the last issue in relation to what was mentioned by Indonesia, we would be happy, I think both FAO and WHO, to consider further technical assistance if that is felt needed by Indonesia, and we could contact you further about that. We would, however, like to focus our attention to the traditional way of, or the new way of trying to avoid this, which is the preparation technique and the guidelines, the preparation technique for the infant formula, the powder, and the guidelines how you prepare that into a final product. We do know that testing, no matter how much testing you do, end product testing will not solve this, and this is why the other solutions are being put into force in this area, just like we are trying to put them into force in a number of other areas. Therefore, the funds that are available in any country to try to avoid this should not go entirely to testing of the end product, because that will not prevent the real problem. And that is also why we have developed the guidelines together, FAO and WHO, the guidelines how you should prepare. They are aimed at ordinary citizens and they are aimed at health personnel, so that we can really prevent the issue. Thank you. And these guidelines reference specifically the Codex guidelines here. So the things are linked together like that. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for that further clarification. And I'm sure the Commission will also remember we had a discussion in the last Commission where we indeed required the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene to expedite work in this area. And Indonesia, I'm not tempted to give you a second position, but maybe this will be the last opportunity I give you a second time before I go to the observers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, once again. Because you know that we know that about the guideline how to prepare well about the milk product for the babies. But the important thing, we are a control agency. You know that we get the force from the NGO of the consumer protection that we have to do the testing laboratory in the end product of the milk product which marketed in the market. So that's why we think maybe the Codex will think about, is there any method of analysis developed other than using DNA base that high reliability so that the routine control can be done with the lower cost, especially because this is the concern of the developing country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We are doing some consultations at the high table, and we recognize the concern of Indonesia. But of course, now we know the end product testing is not a solution to ensuring food safety, but rather we need to address the farm-to-table approach. In other words, we have to use the preventive approach rather than looking at the end product. And you should not yield to pressures. You have to follow the right thing as regulators. So, again, a lot of education, awareness, and training. WHO plays on the method which is cheap but which can also attain the same level of protection. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First thing, testing does not ensure absence of disease. This is very clear. Second thing is, the testing methods in relation to this are not specifically more expensive than ordinary microbiological testing. That's the second thing. So if a national testing laboratory wants to spread its testing to also this area, this is not specifically more expensive than other areas. That's the second thing. Third thing is, the primary responsibility for the safety, the safe preparation, the safe production of the infant formula is with the industry that produces the infant formula. There we know that this product method does not fully ensure a sterile product, and that is very clear, something that we have to inform everybody about. And that is why the preparation in the home or in the hospital is the key critical control point. So we would like countries to use the efforts to try to get that message through. But I still remain with the statement from before that we can work with Indonesia in relation to making sure that you're doing testing, if you have to do testing in the national system, in a sensible way that is not costing too much money. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. And Indonesia, please follow it up with WHO. I have Cuba, and then I go to the observers at the back. Cuba, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Brevemente, ya que tengo aquí nuestro asesor de gobierno cubano para la leche y los productos de la leche, y que nos explica que efectivamente estas preocupaciones que han salido aquí son de una gran importancia, por cuanto este es un organismo muy complejo que no sale por técnicas rutinarias y que de las que se necesitan con rapidez y que no pueden tomar días por la gravedad que puede significar, porque es un patógeno oportunista que provoca no solo bacteremia neonatal sino también meningitis, y que se necesitan pruebas de biología molecular para tener su certeza, y que por lo tanto las mejores razones en que podríamos trabajar podría ser inhibirlo para que tengamos la seguridad de que su población no esté presente, tomando en cuenta además que crece con mucha facilidad las temperaturas de nuestros países en condiciones entre 30 y 37 grados, en condiciones donde precisamente nuestras manipulaciones no son seguras, y que por lo tanto valdría la pena algún fondo, algún financiamiento que pueda potenciar aquellos trabajos que vayan dirigidos, bien, podría ser a técnicas de análisis, pero sobre todo a técnicas inhibitorias de control en las preparaciones masivas. Y que se ha avanzado mucho, aunque no nos toca hoy, pero le aseguro que mañana seguramente volveremos, uno de los sistemas que más activos están hoy en el control del Enterobacter Sakazaki son las adiciones de sistemas inhibidores como los de la lactoperoxidasa, que en concentraciones de 10 microgramos por mililitros son capaces de disminuir la población de este microorganismo de una manera evidente. Esto lo han encontrado científicos no cubanos, científicos norteamericanos, que han sido también comprobados por científicos cubanos estos hallazgos, donde estos tipos de sistemas dan una garantía bastante cómoda a nuestros países, darían garantía para controlar la inhibición del crecimiento del Enterobacter. Cuba desearía proponer que se estudiara por la Comisión del Códex, que se pudieran tomar más que ayudas, ¿no? Las ayudas siempre son buenas para las aplicaciones, para las buenas prácticas, pero ayudas importantes para los sistemas de control por inhibición del crecimiento de la bacteria. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Cuba, for the very long intervention. And, of course, FAO and WHO are sitting on my left, and they have always been very kind and forthcoming to provide us the necessary capacity building. And I hope this is also one area where they can come in and assist. Now I wish to go to ENCA, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the floor on behalf of the European Network of Childbirth Associations. First, we should like to concur with WHO and support inclusion in Article 2.2 of the specifically relevant World Health Assembly resolutions, the first adopted in 2005, WHA 58.32, and the second in 2008, WHA 61.20. We should like to reiterate that the World Health Assembly is the highest policy-setting body in the field of international public health, and as consumers, we appreciate the firm stand taken by the Assembly. Second, we would like to note that the revised Code of Hygienic Practice for powdered formula for infants and young children should not replace the 1979 International Code of Hygienic Practice for foods for infants and children. The title of the revised code refers to infants and young children and reflects the scope, which is far more narrow than the previous code. This means that the revised code omits the two standards referenced in the 1979 code, the first on canned baby foods, Codex Standard 73 of 1981, and the second on processed cereal-based foods in revised standard revised 1 of 2006. These are not referenced in the new revised Code of Hygienic Practice of powdered formulae for infants and young children, and we should like to see this first 1979 code maintained as complementary. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, ENCA, and quite a number of issues raised. Some are procedural, but we can confirm that WHO and FAO have a baby, which is the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So And indeed, as we have heard from WHO, the code, WHO code does make reference to the Codex code. So indeed, there's no contradiction on what the code has done and what the WHO has published. And in fact, these texts do exist, not only in the area of baby foods, but in a lot of other areas. There are a lot of other areas where we have WHO text, we have FAO text, and we also have Codex text. And as a matter of procedural issues, Secretary, please, maybe you could come in here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we could ask at a later stage the chairperson of the Food Hygiene Committee to confirm certain facts. At the level of the Secretariat, we have been informed that the core part of this code, if this new code is adopted, will supersede and make obsolete the existing code of hygienic practice for foods for infants and children. And those areas which may go beyond the powdered infant formula do exist. However, the production of this kind of the products addressing this segment can be covered by the basic text, the very basic of all Codex hygienic text, which is general principles of food hygiene. So it is in our standing that to avoid confusion upon the adoption of this new code, the old one should be revoked. This is what we have as the information at the Secretariat. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And again, on top of that, is in fact the commodity standard that referenced the general standard. And rarely would a general standard reference a commodity standard. And then I have IBFAN, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to address this very important issue. The International Baby Food Action Network would like to endorse the statements made by the representative of the WHO in reference to the importance of the WHA Resolution 61.20 as it relates to the issue of contaminated powdered formula. And in relationship to that, we would like to address the section in the proposed draft Code of Hygienic Practice for Powdered Formula for Infants and Young Children, section that deals with consumer information. We would like to note that that particular section really needs far more standardization than it has at the moment. We do not see specific reference to the FAO WHO guidelines, but what we do see is a variation of, for example, in situations where there's high confidence that a number of proposed methodologies in relationship to preparation, storage, and handling can be applied. And we feel that this has a potential for actually increasing risk rather than decreasing risk. Because if we have different manufacturers with different recommendations for preparations on their labels in the same country and also between different countries, we feel that this can cause a lot of confusion. And now that we also have the direct guidance from the World Health Assembly on the dissemination and implementation of the WHO FAO guidelines, we feel that that should be much more that should be the reference and the standard for this particular section. So what we would like to recommend is that in the paragraph that starts with all healthcare professionals and caregivers, we would like to rewrite this as follows. all healthcare professionals and caregivers should be informed that because powdered formula is not sterile, the FAO WHO 2007 Safe Preparation, Storage, and Handling of Powdered Infant Formula guidelines are essential to minimize the risk of contaminated formula. And then we really feel that the additional paragraphs in that section should be eliminated for the sake of clarity. The guidelines contain all the information and standardizes the information for labeling for different products, for different manufacturers, and for different countries, so that this will eliminate confusion, which will certainly result from a variety of methodologies that can be applied as it is written. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. FAN, and can I go to Germany, please, and just confirm whether these were discussed or they were not discussed, and whether there was some consensus or no consensus? The chairperson is not around?
The chairman is not the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry. It's not German. I was confusing with the Committee on Food for Special Dietary Uses. It's the United States, please, the chairperson of the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene. Sorry for that.
Vielen Dank, Herr Chairman. With respect to several of the points raised by a couple of the last interveners, I appreciate the observations of the Secretariat that this code was intended, as has been made reference to by the WHO representative, to foods for infants that presented risks with respect to a microbial contaminant of great concern of late, and that is Enterobacter sakazakii. And those foods that could present that risk, that hazard to infants, that being powdered formulae. The other foods made reference to in the older code, in fact, are dealt with, the committee felt, by general principles of food hygiene. Now, with respect to the last intervention by IPFAN, I can confirm to you that the point made was made several times over the course of the last several years of discussion of this code. It was discussed thoroughly, and the decision was made as a consensus matter by the committee that the reference to the WHO guidelines, as it appears in the code, was sufficient to establish clearly the recommendations of the guidelines and their application to consumers' information. The committee did not agree to the text you have before you. The text this commission has before it was the consensus text after much discussion of the points that you have just heard raised. So I refer this text to the Commission as the consensus text, those concerns having been given due consideration, and with respect to that intervener. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, United States. And then I have ILCA, please.
Thank you for giving the International Lactation Consultant Association the floor to speak on this important matter. We are concerned about the fact that now the standard about canned baby food and the standard about processed cereal-based food will be without a reference to a special code for hygiene, because the last revision in 2006 still thought that it was important to mention the recommended International Code of Hygienic Practices drafted in 1979 in their part of hygiene, so it must not completely be covered by the revision done in 2003 of the general principles for hygiene. So there is really a big question how we can keep this special code, at least for those two standards. That's one of my questions. And the other is that we fully support the intervention by WHO informing us about the new resolution 61.20. And we think it's not enough just to have it mentioned in the report of this session, but we would propose to have it in the introduction after the first sentence as a footnote so that later on people reading the code of hygiene would have a reference to this important World Health Assembly resolution. Thank you.
United States of America, please. The issues raised about the code not being able to cover some of the other products. Could you just come in generally?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In my previous comment, I referred to the intervention of the Secretariat. I mentioned that the Secretariat, it is my understanding that the existing codex texts cover the foods concerned. I mentioned general principles of food hygiene. I failed to mention the code on low-acid canned foods, but other texts do cover. If they do not, then I would, and I think the committee would throw itself on the indulgence of the Secretariat for advice if there is a gap in coverage of code, but our understanding was that there was not. And I stand by my previous statements with respect to the WHO guidelines. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, United States of America, and of course we would note the concerns raised in our reports, but we should not hold the text. Rather, we should propose it to be adopted as Step 8.5 and advise both IBFAN, ILCA, and ENCA to raise these issues at the earliest opportunity in the Committee on Food Hygiene. Seeing no any other flag, that will be our position. Then the next document is also from the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene and is proposed draft guideline for the validation of food safety control measures, being proposed to be adopted at Step 5.8. And observations as to why we shouldn't adopt this at Step 5.8? No? Thank you very much. Then this is adopted as Step 5.8. The other one is again text from the same committee, Food Hygiene. Proposed draft Annex 2 on the guidance on microbiological risk management metrics to the principles and guidelines for the conduct of microbiological risk management. Proposed to be adopted at Step 5.8. And observation, that is Thailand, please.
Thank you very much. Thailand support adoption of this proposed draft annex. However, during the discussion in the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, the committee considered the proposal to include additional practical examples to more clearly illustrate the application of the new microbiological risk management metrics to be beneficial to countries who have not experienced on the application of this complex issue. The committee finally requested to FAO to develop a practical manual on the implication of this metrics. Thailand would like to reiterate the agreement made by Korea Committee on Food Hygiene, and would like to request that FAO official give priority to this work. So this is just observation. Thank you.
Thank you, Thailand. And FAO and WHO are very close to me on my left. FAO, please. I mean WHO, please. FAO? Okay, FAO, please.
Sí, señor presidente, la FAO y la OMS recuerda perfectamente esta solicitud, estamos conscientes de ello, pero también recordamos y queremos hacer recordar al comité que debido a las prioridades también y a la característica de este tema, se pidió a la comisión un periodo de tiempo razonable, hablamos de 4 años aproximadamente, para estar en posibilidades de colectar la información acerca de las experiencias de los propios países en este campo, de tal manera de, como venimos haciendo desde hace mucho tiempo, proveer una asesoría científica basado en datos reales y en experiencias de varios países. Estamos conscientes que este es un trabajo que tenemos pendiente y proseguimos en la obtención de información. Gracias.